Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Hey, let's do it. Oh, we get a chance to meet Jalen Reed today, I think, if they're going to put the rookies in front of microphones out at rookie minicamp. Rookie minicamp starting today over at the Methodist Training Center with the Houston Texans. Welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday to all of you. We made it to the end of the week. Good to be with you. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. I am Sean Pendergast, and in his bright red Under Armour gear, ready to go today.
Yeah, that's how you know I'm in business. Yeah, I'm down to the bottom of the pile.
That's
I never
a good-looking
wear.
Shirt,
I'm wearing
man.
It today.
That's the bottom of the pile.
Yeah, I reserve I save it for golf tournaments and whatnot,
yeah,
which I turn down frequently.
Yep,
yes.
Yep. Homage
I'll donate
Tiger.
To your charity, but I'm not going to go out and sweat and play bad golf for it.
No, golf is a full-day thing, man. That's why people ask, like, why don't you play more golf? I'm like, because it's a commitment. You know, like, that golf is a commitment.
Right,
and
yeah.
And I got enough commitments in my life, you know?
That's why I chuckle at my generation making fun of people for playing video games too much. Because, no, going out and getting drunk for 5 hours on a weekday afternoon is A-okay.
Well,
but sitting on your couch and playing video games for 5 hours is deplorable, apparently.
At least there's physical movement with golf. You know, there's a little bit of walking, a little bit of swinging.
Sure.
You know,
yeah,
that's what I tell myself.
Bit.
Yeah,
yeah, it is. And now in Houston,
compared to video games.
Houston, it's a commitment.
Yeah.
You know, anytime you play, when you live in our climate, it's a whole different deal.
Yeah, yeah. My wife got a membership at this sauna place right across the street from our building.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, you pay X amount a month and you can go whenever you want to and you can get an hour-long sauna. So there's some Texans that go there because, as we know, the one criticism of NRG Stadium for players is it doesn't have a sauna there.
Is it one of those infrared sauna places?
Yeah, it is, actually.
Yeah, it's supposed to be super good for you, man.
Yeah, it's supposed to be good for you. But as we get closer to these summer months, knowing how much it costs per month, my suggestion to her might be just go outside. That's kind of a sauna in Houston. You know what I mean? Step outside and I'll see what their business is like.
Sorry, you're not interested in Amy improving her cardiovascular function, lowering her stroke risk, and activating her immune system. All the benefits.
On the Google machine, yeah.
Anybody who makes money off of infrared saunas will tell you is a benefit.
Is it? Yeah. She likes it. She goes like 2-3 times a week. She likes it. So, yeah.
Can control your high blood pressure. Do you have high blood pressure?
No, mine's good. Oh. I get mine tested every Friday at the Men's T Clinic. They do my blood. I'm good, man. I'm in that mid 120s over 80-ish range right now. That's good.
Good for
I think.
You. Good
yeah.
job.
Yeah. Thanks.
So the most fun thing about Houston, what's the forecast today? What's the high?
It's actually not too bad. It poured it poured last night, so it kind of cooled things off. It's actually the high today is supposed to be 82.
The shock to the system is when guys who haven't played in the Deep South come out really around the mandatory mini camps in that time of year, when you might be getting you get potentially high 90s or mid 90s and super super sauna like.
Yeah.
That's a shock to your system, man. Yeah. You play all your college games at Iowa State, and you're from
Minnesota.
Now, Higgins is from Higgins is from South Florida.
Okay,
but where is Noel from?
Was he one of the ones working out in Kansas City this week?
Yeah,
with
he's in
Mertz?
Kansas City.
Yeah,
so it gets hot up there, but not the soupy conditions that we get down here.
Yeah.
So it might be a shock to Jalen Noel's system. Once he gets out here for a mini camp and training camp.
I want to say last year that was the theme. Like, it was cool. We had a cool early May last year for the rookies. Like, so today and tomorrow's rookie mini camp. 82 degrees high today. supposed to rain, actually, so they may end up indoors. And then tomorrow, the high is only 79. Like, it's for mid-May, it's going to be unseasonably cool. And I remember, I think it was last year, where we were like, yeah, don't get used to this. This is not normal. Be ready in July for it to be 98 degrees with 150% humidity. Yeah.
My favorite minicamp memory was Andre Johnson not catching the football in his rookie minicamp. The passes were careening off his hands, and it turned out that he had some kind of his contact lenses or the visor he was using or something just needed to be tweaked. But it wasn't an auspicious beginning for one of the greatest wide receivers in NFL history.
What were veterans like yourself muttering to each other as this third overall pick was letting balls bounce off his face?
I wasn't out there. I mean, rookie minicamp is dumb. It's
minicamp. Sorry.
There were a few veterans that had gone out just to watch, and they were like, yeah, he was really. These guys all knew Andre Johnson and watched him in college.
Sure.
It wasn't like it was a big. It was just weird. It was just kind of strange.
Yeah.
And if you didn't know anything at all about Andre Johnson, you'd have gone out. You'd be like, well, how'd this guy get drafted?
Right.
But it was, it turned out they fixed it almost immediately. It was genuinely like a visor problem or something.
If we had just lost one more game, we could have had Charles Rogers. That's what they were saying out there that day.
Yeah.
Jamar Chase was that way too, I remember. I remember there being reports out of Bengals, either training camp or rookie minicamp, I can't remember which. But Jamar Chase was dropping everything that was thrown to him. That seemed to work out okay for the Bengals. If I had to go check, I think Jamar Chase worked out all right. So we'll see. I'm excited to see the two rookie wide receivers today, though. Even if they're just, running against air or going against some of the other DBs that are out there.
Yeah, you get to see the skill position players especially all look like they're first-rounders when you go out there and all they're doing is drills and really nothing competitive or anything. Yeah. You just see their pure athleticism.
Yeah, man.
And a lot of times they're going against guys who are perhaps either undrafted rookie free agents or what have you, if they're doing any kind of drills at all. There's not a whole lot of competition out there. So, yeah, everybody looks incredible in rookie minicamp.
You and I are coming up in July on 6 years of shows together. From doing 6 years of radio with me that nobody comes in with hotter against air takes than me.
Yeah.
And I do. I will be here on Monday, and I'm telling you right now, when I come in here on Monday, they will have drafted the next Jamar Chase to go alongside Stephon Diggs.
All-time worst.
Diggs as Noel, Chase as Higgins, yes.
Your all-time worst take was just how exuberant you were over David Johnson.
Yeah, that's,
that wasn't rookie minicamp, but no. that was during COVID, only a few select media members were allowed in, and you were one of them.
Nope.
And you saw David Johnson. He was still impressive athletically, and he still looked physically imposing.
Yeah. That was a take that didn't age well. Like, that wasn't a take. When I called in with it, nobody was calling me out on it, and I was not alone out there at minicamp saying these things, but yes, I will own that, and I have owned it since then.
Yeah.
David Johnson, guys, I'm telling you right now, this guy who has not played good football, nor much football at all, healthy, but not much football at all the last 3 years, I'm telling you, he actually is. This is what's going to balance out the DeAndre Hopkins trade. Yes.
Right. Yeah. This is, because everybody knows running backs classically can go through 4 years of not doing much, and then all of a sudden at the age of 30, just surge right ahead.
Yep. Not the case.
That was the cruelest trick that year, was when we figured at least, okay, the Texans saying all these nice things about David Johnson were just, they were just trying to do a little damage control on the PR side of things. Nope. They genuinely believed in David
Johnson.
Oh,
hell yeah, they did. Hell yeah, they believed it. Absolutely.
I think the guys that have the most potential to get exuberant about just based on athleticism, I think Jalen Knowles in the top of the heap right there.
Oh, yeah.
I think Luke Lachey, just because he's so tall and because he's kind of polished by rookie tight end standards because he went to Iowa where they actually use their tight ends like tight ends and teach them how to block and teach them a lot of the fundamentals of playing tight end. You'll get excited about Luke Lachey.
Okay.
He's just going to be envisioning that huge catch radius.
This is your
going
prediction.
Going across the middle and just snagging balls out of the ether. Yep.
Okay. Your prediction is Noel and Lachey will be the two that I come in over the top excited about. Okay.
And then if Graham Mertz drops a couple of dimes in pro day fashion. Yeah. Yes, you're going to be super excited about Graham Mertz.
He's coming off an ACL. I wonder how much they're going to let him do. But yeah, well, yeah, no. If he drops some in the bucket, boom. Oh yeah, Graham Mertz. Look out, Davis Mills. If I come in saying look out, C.J. Stroud, then you have permission to slap me.
So. Speaking of quarterbacks, real quick, I'm keeping my eye on Iowa State quarterback Rocco Becht. Because his name is Rocco.
Yeah, I am
and
too.
Because I've watched enough Iowa State highlights over the last few weeks, a couple weeks, that now I'm watching some of these passes, and yeah, they're great catches, but whoo, look at the touch.
Rocco Becht.
A guy named Casario can't pass up a guy named Rocco.
Rocco Becht.
Jimmy Garoppolo got drafted in the second round just because of football ability? No.
Did they sign this guy, this Rocco fella?
No. He might not even come out this year. I'm saying I'm keeping an eye on him.
Oh, just in general. I got you.
Since we're talking about the Iowa State
receivers right now. That would have made sense if he were an undrafted guy to at least bring him in this week to throw to the –
Yeah,
to, you
yeah,
know what I mean?
That's that guy that's got a relationship with him.
Yeah, that's a weird thing about this rookie minicamp. You asked Nick the other day about, hey, who are the undrafted free agents that which one do you think I should adopt because we adopt one every year on this show, and he's like, oh, we only signed six of them. That's what's weird. Like, it's rookie minicamp. There's only going to be like 15 guys out there probably, unless they mix in a few, you know, like a few local guys that are maybe in there like tryout style or whatever, you know.
Daniel Jackson, the wide receiver out of Minnesota, mm-hmm. is getting a whole lot of buzz.
McShay.
And yeah, I'd like to get excited about him, but I also know that it's going to be really hard for a wide receiver to make that team, an undrafted receiver, a rookie to make that team when you've already got two rookies on it, especially.
Yeah.
So he'll be intriguing. Like that could very well be a guy that they look at and they want to keep him around on practice squad and maybe has a chance there. But if he does make the team, that'd be a coup. It'd be a coup.
Well,
Sean.
It would be a coup. It would all likelihood mean somebody got hurt along the way, which I would not like. You know, like if we're just playing the odds of you know, Jackson making the team. So I wouldn't
Eli Cox, the center out of Kentucky, is another guy that a lot of people have asked about.
Yeah.
He's interesting because he wasn't, you know, by his play, he doesn't look like a guy that should have got drafted anywhere notable, but he is very, very athletic.
Yep.
He's one of the most, just by combine testing, he's one of the most athletic centers from the past few decades.
Yep.
But then you always have to wonder, okay, so why was that athleticism not paired with really impressive football? So, but I could see where that's a perfect undrafted rookie free agent because you see if maybe it was some coaching and maybe being in the right fit and some maturation. I say maturation. He spent 6 years in college.
Yeah.
But he so he had plenty of time to work on his combine drills over the course of 6 years.
Yep.
But intriguing.
Intriguing. Yep. Looking forward to it. And right on cue, someone texted in. Eli Cox? ? Seth gave you his Eli Cox take. There you go.
We will not figure it out during rookie minicamp.
No.
I apologize.
No, that is true.
But he is intriguing.
Well, he is intriguing, and he's going to get to go up in training camp, assuming he's still around, against what for Texan fans is a pretty familiar crew. They re-signed Foley Fatakasi the other day, so I want to talk about that. Foley Fatakasi is back. If there's a concerned position group on defense, is it the interior defensive line, and are we cool with them just running it back this year? And also, did Nick Caserio do something yesterday that is going to make other GMs angry around the league? We will tell you exactly what that was. I'm all for it, but we'll tell you what it was. We'll do all that coming up next. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Seth, do you think that other GMs are angry with Nick Caserio today that he... I'm surprised this is the first time that this has happened, that for the first time ever, a second-round pick, and it was a high second-round pick, second guy taken in the second round, Jaden Higgins, the Texans fully guaranteed his four-year, $11 million and change contract yesterday.
So then it's the first time in the NFL, not just with the Texans. So the first time anybody is fully guaranteed a second-round pick. You know what? This is something we need to ask Nick about at some point. Nick is... The Texans have been very forthcoming with guaranteed money, and I wonder, we should talk to Texans cap about it too. There's a strategy behind it, like, because there's no reason to do it negotiating wise or anything. But Nick, as he's done with renegotiating contracts or bringing guys like Danielle Hunter in, I really think they like just having as much guaranteed money up front and making it a short term deal. But with the rookies, I don't know what the incentive is.
Yeah, this is different because this is all slotted, you know.
Well, it's remember the Texans did this with Damian Pierce. They gave him more money than what the slot
that's what
suggest.
It was. That's what it was. I couldn't remember. People were pointing that out yesterday. No, my sons pointed it out to me. my son James is like, didn't Nick do something before where we were saying like other GMs are going to be angry with him? Thank you, Seth. I couldn't remember what it was. That's right.
I put it right there in the show prep. Right?
I haven't looked down on the show prep yet. Yeah, sorry.
For whatever reason, Nick doesn't shy away from giving out guaranteed money, and lots of it is a percentage of the contract. And that's what the players like.
Yeah.
Players are always clamoring for guaranteed contracts. And I get frustrated because you can get a guaranteed contract. You just got to sign a shorter deal.
Yeah.
And the Texans have done that multiple times. So that's as far as maybe how players view the Texans. It's not a bad deal to be known as the team that is,
right.
You know, and it's good for the team depending on how you structure it, because you're renting a short-term player as opposed to the old way of trying to sign a six-year deal, and the player's going to want to renegotiate after three or four years, and then everybody's PO'd at each other. You just say, look, it's guaranteed money. You know, just quit your whining. You got what you wanted.
It's $11 million, which in the real world is a ton of money, obviously. But it's
pocket change.
It's a four-year, $11 million contract. You know, so relative to the salary cap, it is pocket change. You know, it's not much. So, and I'm pretty confident, and obviously the Texans are pretty confident, that Jaden Higgins is going to be around here for a while. It was a non-starter for me. I'm like, oh, that's cool. It's the first. I was just surprised. It's the first time it's happened under this version of this. You know, this version of salary structure CBA. Like it's been the salaries structure has been this way since 2011. You know, where there's been a rookie wage scale. So I'm just surprised it's the first time it's ever happened. That's all. You know. So good job.
No. So I mean, Nick's there's some reasoning behind it.
Yeah.
There's a reason the Texans do this differently than others do. So it's the classic case of either whenever you do something that's atypical, you're either smarter than everybody else or dumber than everybody else.
That's right.
And we'll find, that's why I should. That's how I'll frame it to Nick.
Yeah.
I'll say, Nick,
are you smart?
You seem to give out more guaranteed money than anybody else, especially to rookies to guys that don't have the leverage to demand it.
Yeah.
Are you smarter than everybody else or dumber than everybody
else? That's a good way. Put his feet to the fire. Answer the question, Nick. Are you smarter or dumber
or no?
than everybody else? Yeah.
I'll make it like a congressional committee.
Right.
He'll start in and I'm like, it's a yes or no question.
You can't handle the truth.
Hey, attorneys out there, I'm always curious about that. What is, you always see in courtroom dramas, the prosecutor saying, answer the question, yes or no, to a very nuanced question. When I envision it, my response as a calm, cool, and collected witness, or what do you call it when you're sitting up there when you're giving your testimony?
you're a witness when you're giving your
testimony. Yeah, when you're witness, is, well, listen, I feel like you got a law degree. You're smart enough to figure out what I was saying there. I had to give you the context first.
Yeah.
That's how I do it.
That's how you do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not
did they not teach you deductive reasoning at Harvard? Apologize.
You're not.
Does the judge step in? I got to think, because there's so many situations where it's not as simple as a yes or no response.
Right.
Yeah.
The judge
has got to step in, right?
That's what he's there for.
Like,
I would think.
Listen, prosecutor.
Yeah.
Let's not play these games.
The judge
is
there to direct traffic. Yes, I would think so.
I'm just biding my time until I can collect my pension. All right. Just shut up, dude.
All right. So the Texans, like literally 45 minutes after we got done with Nick the other day, they re-signed Foley Fadakasi. I felt like, hey man, couldn't you have broken that news on our show? That would have been really cool. But I'm joking. Foley Fadakasi is back. So this is the position. This is like a deluxe version of run it back, Seth. This interior defensive line.
Yeah.
You know, it's Fadakasi. Settle was already under contract. Mario Edwards Jr. is coming back. They're bringing back Sheldon Rankins from 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all familiar faces coming back. Are we cool with that strategy at that position? This is who it's going to be. Those four guys. Are we cool with that strategy?
Yeah, I'm 100% fine with it, because they just haven't landed on a guy that's a genuine super stud at defensive tackle.
Yeah.
And defensive line, you rotate guys through. There's some improvements that they can make over last year. But by and large, if you just step back and look at it from 35,000 feet, the Texans had a really good pass rush last year. they were one of the better teams against the run. They just, some of the big runs were where they really got hurt. And there were specific games where the defensive tackles didn't play as well as they should have versus the run. But the big runs are always a committee affair. It's a combination of D-line. That's the nice thing about being a defensive lineman as opposed to a cornerback.
Yeah.
Usually, look, you're responsible for the first 5 or 10 yards sometimes if you get mollywopped. But for it to be a big run, then you've got a linebacker or a safety or somebody else that also should have filled in.
Yeah.
So, I'm cool with it. And I also know that it's not like they're not trying to at some point either draft or go after a guy who's a genuinely impact player at defensive tackle.
Yeah, I feel like this group, like for a bunch of journeymen, they make some stuff happen. You know, Mario Edwards was kind of disruptive last year. Tim Settle had a really good year last year.
Yeah.
Sheldon Rankins, when he was on the field for the Texans 2 years ago, did some good things. You know,
no, the great irony now is now you have the people who are upset that the Texans let go of Sheldon Rankins and didn't replace him with anybody are now upset that the only guy you're bringing back is Sheldon Rankins. There's just not a guy who's a Pro Bowl caliber, can stuff the run, but also rush the passer really effectively, guy right there, right now. But they do have a guy, they have guys that can push the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And D'Amico tweaked some things with the defense last year that they hemmed up some things with some of the problems in the run defense as the year went along, just by having them play, you know, slightly different techniques. So it's like, yes, there can be an upgrade, but also the really good defenses don't have 11 all-pro guys out there. You're never gonna have a defense where, other than every now and then, like the Rams when they had four future Pro Bowlers on their future Hall of Famers on their defense. You're not gonna be overly stacked at every position.
No, you're not. That's what I think. Like, if they find the guy you're talking about, it's definitely gonna be through the draft. Like, they don't have the money to go out and sign a top tier interior defensive lineman. Like, they're just, you know, you can only spend on so many things. Payne and Pendergast with you. So Jonathan Alexander has the things he's watching for at rookie camp here. Does it match up with mine? Jaden Hagan's hands and explosiveness. Yes. I'm looking to watch that. Well,
Jaden Hagan's had one of the lowest drop rates of, depending on which list you're looking at, basically the drafted wide receivers are the mm-hmm. top tier guys. He had the lowest drop rate. So for a big guy with really good hands, that's where I get excited about it, because it just feels like he's got a very high floor.
Yeah.
That if he, unless for some reason he falls apart because of injuries or anything, I think he's going to be a viable NFL wide receiver, especially when he's playing opposite of Nico Collins.
Well, Jalen Noel returned punts. I was all about that. Then I heard all these reports of 5 muffed punts or something last year, and I'm like, hey, mm-hmm. wait a second. Wait, I thought I was supposed to be excited about this. He muffed 5 punts last year. What are we doing here right now?
You know, one thing I've learned as I've tried to investigate these muffed punts mm-hmm. is that the Iowa State film is not all over the place out there. There's there's not just a boatload of Iowa State film.
You can't just Google
around YouTube specialty and what have you.
Iowa State special teams film.
If you lump now, and I know one of the knocks on him in his scouting report was that at times, it just seemed like he didn't have, I hate it when they say loss of focus or loss of concentration, because that almost sounds like a personality trait versus just, I think, the just absolutely being dialed in and hoovering up everything. He had a really good drop rate in his final season. He improved every year along the way. His drop rate for his career wasn't that great, but he improved it every single year from 2022 through 2024, and I wonder with the punts if there was a similar trend with
dynamic.
That
He just got a little more fundamentally sound in securing the football. I'm kind of
so you're gonna have to go out and watch, just even on the jugs and everything. That's all you're gonna watch today is special teams drills.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like I don't know, do they have enough guys out there to even do some of this stuff?
You can do some of the drill. No, I mean, you do the drills. Like, you do a lot of individual drills.
Yeah.
The jugs, a machine, if they're doing special. Plus, the media is only allowed in today, not Saturday
not
or Sunday.
Yeah.
So, or not tomorrow. Yeah. So, maybe some of the special team stuff will be tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll have eyes on it for you out there at Sports Radio 610. Keep it tuned to Sports Radio 610 all day long. Oh, the guy who owns the sauna place my wife goes to is a longtime listener. He just texted.
Is he now?
Yeah, he said, and he just invited you, Seth. He said that morning show infrared saunas are great for you and actually helps you with Houston heat. Does your wife Sean, go to Beam Light Sauna. She does, right there off of Kirby. Thanks for the support. Thanks for supporting my business. I'm Kenneth, the owner, longtime listener. You should come try it out, Seth. Okay, now this is a little, the phrasing of this, I'm a little curious. You should come out and try it, Seth. We have a social sauna. It's a sauna for two. So, and Amy has told me about this before. She's like, you know, I can bring you as a guest for the social sauna. Is he inviting you and I to go do a social sauna together? Because I don't want to do that. I love you
hey,
to death.
Hey, we're both in our 50s now. Is that the age when we start doing everything buck naked around anything
else? Not if it's just the two of us.
Am I old enough to be the buck naked guy at the gym or sauna?
I'll go buck naked in a sauna with you if there's several other people there. But there's something about you and I being just solo two people in a sauna naked.
What's the square footage of this sauna?
How big is it?
No, infrared sauna does have a lot of, like, there's documented health benefits. I was joking earlier about how that, you know, the people who sell you infrared sauna will tell you, you know, it lowers your blood pressure. Yeah. It's all kinds of health benefits. For it. It's supposed to be a really good thing.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
No, but you can keep your social sauna, buddy. My social contact with Sean for 4 hours a day, and then I don't want to talk to anybody.
Fully clothed. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to remember, I'm married too.
Right.
So there's another person I have to talk to for an allotted number of minutes per day.
Maybe he was inviting Brandy to do the social sauna with you.
No, she'd love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
She can go with whoever she wants. I'm also, now that I'm in my 50s, I don't care. Oh, is it her good looking trainer from the gym? Go for it. I don't care. Whatever. Cool.
It's funny because it's
true. Is he going to talk to you? Will he talk to you? Yes.
Oh, my God.
Do it.
That is so true.
Hey Seth, I saw your wife talking to some guy at the grocery store. Good for her.
Yeah. Hey, she gets to talk to somebody, right?
Just have to deal with my grumpy ass all day. Right.
Choppa from Alvin says, I have an infrared light in my personal sauna at home. Well, look at you, Choppa. The wife always asks if I've hatched yet or not. That's pretty funny. Your wife is funny, Choppa. Oh, that's great.
Get some chickens. We're thinking about getting chickens for our eggs. Not because of a price thing, because it does. I've done the math on it. It doesn't really work out. It still works out as pretty pricey when you, unless you got a. I'm not going to do a volume operation,
yeah.
Sean.
Would you build the whole coop and everything yourself, or would you outsource that?
One of our listeners offered to build me a coop.
Okay.
But I don't think he's offering it for free. So, but we'll see. I'll give him hot sports.
Okay, so.
I'll give him a free membership to my YouTube. The 99 cents a month.
The pecking order of how he's going to get this coop made. Number one, see if he can swindle a listener into doing it for free in exchange for hot takes. Number two, outsource it to a reasonably priced local establishment. Number three, begrudgingly build it himself.
I would enjoy doing it as long as
you would actually.
Chicken coop's a small enough project that, and you, there's only so many ways you can mess it up. Yeah, I might have to build a chicken coop.
Do it.
Is that what I'm doing this weekend?
And document it. There's got to be an endorsement you can get out of building a chicken coop somehow. You know, the tools, some hardware, whatever.
Well, I can dupe my father-in-law into, you know, he's got a mill and everything. Like, he's, he sells a lot of, well, not right this moment, but he sells timber and mills it himself.
That's the measure of a real man right there. How do you measure a real man?
Yeah,
Fred's got a mill.
No, Fred's as manly as it gets. He could. Plus, he's not afraid to. He's a very good marksman as well, and he's not afraid to threaten people every now and then with actually shooting them. So, like, he's been doing that way before it was popularized by social media.
Right.
He's
been doing it since the 50s.
Yeah,
that's great.
He lives in a small enough town where people are they take him seriously.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Small enough town to take him seriously, and small enough town to where, like, he could hide whatever the whatever the outcome
went to high
is.
With the sheriff.
yeah, that's great. All right, we'll do some headlines next. Astros enter what will thus far be the most difficult portion of the season. We'll circle back to a little bit of Texans news. NBA playoffs last night was popping. We'll get to that. And a former Texan gets cut. Do we want this guy back? We will discuss that in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, thank you to the Men's Tea Clinic for bringing us headlines each and every day. The Astros, we've not talked about them yet. They embark on what to this point will be the toughest stretch easily this season. They're about to go on a 17 day stretch here with baseball every single day. No off days, literally no days off for 17 days. They started off this tonight against the Cincinnati Reds. They're home for the Reds, then home for the Royals, and then they go on the road to face Texas and Tampa Bay before coming back home to face Seattle. The only thing I don't like about this 17-game stretch, because I'm all for having baseball every day, as long as they spice things up a little bit and start scoring more than three runs on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I don't like having Seattle, who easily is the most important team that they're playing in this stretch. That's who they're chasing. They're four games back of the Mariners right now in the division. I don't like having Seattle come to town on the heels of having just played 13 days without a day off.
I'm looking for the – look, Sean, I'm actually anticipating and hoping for the version of the Astros that plays better versus good teams. Which they had been doing for a stretch, and then they turn into the worst version of themselves against the White Sox or what have you.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Bring them on.
Bring on
all the stalwarts of the league, Sean.
Well, Ellie De La Cruz comes to town this weekend, and there aren't many guys in baseball who I would say I'll buy a ticket to watch that guy. He's one of them. He's great. So we get a chance to look at him this weekend.
This is a McCullough. We might see. Fingers crossed. Yep. Lance McCullers four times in this stretch.
Over 17 games?
Because he's pitching tomorrow.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Maybe.
Right?
Okay. I got to do the math.
They're using a five-man rotation.
Yeah. I'd have to do the math on that. At least three, though. You're right. For sure, right? Yeah.
If he's pitching game two, game seven,
yep.
game 12, game 17.
Yeah. I guess it would be. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
I didn't realize we needed a scientific calculator for that.
It just sounds like a lot. I mean, it sounds like a lot of games in a 17-game stretch, but if you're at the beginning
like
and the
end.
It sounds
like a lot. It's matched up that well. Lance McCullers, 0.0 ERA.
Yeah.
When the graphic pops up on the screen tonight, that's what Reds fans will be seeing. Like, oh, look at that. Lance McCullers, 0.0 ERA.
Pretty intimidating.
Oh, no.
Pretty intimidating, I'd have to say.
0.0 ERA somehow.
Yeah.
Despite lighting like 29 people on
with a whip of 3.65.
What's his whip right now? It's up there.
He let three walks and three hits in 3 2/3 innings.
Okay.
So it ain't great. It's not horrific. I mean, obviously he didn't give up any runs, but it ain't good.
But this is a big. It's got a 1.64 whip right now. So,
it's
back down there into the 1.2s
there
like
you go.
Typically does.
Yeah.
So, I think this, honestly, for me, this is a big test for Lance McCullers. If he can actually go four starts in this 17-game stretch, as long as they stick with a five-man rotation.
Yeah.
That would be a little victory early in the season.
He threw 87 pitches his first time out, man. So, the guardrails, at least in terms of usage, seemed to be not all the way off, but like 87. I was shocked he threw that many pitches in his first game back. The most he had done in a rehab start was 71.
Especially because he went out there for the fourth inning. He had a good third. The first two innings were very tense.
Yeah.
He goes out of the third inning, mows three guys down right away.
Yeah.
And then you think, okay, let's end on a high note. But then he came out for the fourth. That's where I got nervous.
Yep.
And especially because Lance, you know his mentality. Lance can be all, strategic and everything beforehand, but when he gets in the heat of the moment, I could totally see him pitching through a little discomfort or something.
Yeah, and not saying anything. Know. Yeah, because he had it in his mind he's going to get to the end of the fourth inning. I could totally see that. All right, so Astros back at it tonight. They were off yesterday. Texans get rookie minicamp started up today. Jaden Higgins and Nick Caserio together made history yesterday. First fully guaranteed contract for a second-round pick in NFL history. 4 years, $11.7 million. Doesn't matter to me either way, one way or the other, that it's fully guaranteed. I expect Jaden Higgins to be on this team for the next 4 years,
Right. Well, I mean, it does happen. The second-rounders get cut in the second or third year all the time, but not all the time, but not infrequently. It's interesting. It's a strategy that Nick has where he's very forthcoming with the guaranteed money. And for all the various reasons that he might do that or would do that, I do like that it's simpatico with what a lot of players want, which is more guaranteed money.
Yeah.
And it's like I think the Texans probably at this point have the reputation amongst free agents or other players around the league that's the opposite of, say, the old Bengals when players just, they just had a bad taste in their mouth about the Bengals without ever even having played there. I think the Texans have a reputation for treating their players well.
Well,
so I'm for it as long as it's, look, it's not recklessly irresponsible or anything.
No, and I think, too, the another entity that we need to acknowledge in this are the McNairs, because in the NFL, now this Jaden Higgins contract doesn't fit under this, but like the Derek Stingley contract, when you're guaranteeing $89 million,
yeah.
C.J. Stroud's contract, which eventually will happen, where there's going to be well over $100 million, maybe even $200 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
They've got to take that money and stick it in an escrow account.
That's right.
You know
what
I mean?
Right.
Like, so it's not that they don't have the money.
We're cash rich, baby.
Right, right, right.
It's a little bit of a flex.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, these billionaires don't like earning the whatever nominal amount of interest you're allowed to get in an escrow account.
Right.
You know? Yeah. This is Cal McNair is on your white couch with muddy boots saying, I'm rich.
Yeah.
I'm rich.
I like to picture Cal taking the $89 million guaranteed to Stingley in a Halliburton suitcase to the bank, shoving it to the teller, and then taking a toothpick out of his mouth and just flicking it in their face and go, here's your $89 million.
And I'll holla.
Yeah.
You know, and what the definite rich thing you have to say is put that in your coffers.
Yeah. Yes. And smoke it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So there you go. In your coffers. So there's your
Tom Green. That was from the Tom Green Show way back. It's still one of my favorite moments in television history. Tom Green went to deposit like $1,000 worth of pennies, and he put them up on the counter and says, "Put that in your coffers."
That's funny. I don't need to see that, and that's funny. All right.
Real quick note on rookie minicamp, because you can't necessarily always tell a lot. I had told a story earlier about how in Andre Johnson's first day of rookie minicamp, he was dropping.
Basically
was
said
dropping,
he's Will Fuller. Yeah.
He was dropping the ball all over the place, and it was odd, because it's not like that was his reputation in college.
It was odd because he was the third pick in the draft.
It was odd because he was a future Hall of Famer.
Right, right.
If you were out there being like, yep, that guy's destined for Canton. I had said that, as I remember it, it was – he was wearing a different visor or something, and like the second day, it was no big deal. Vandermeer brought up a great point, which is that was Ragone's rookie year too. Dave Ragone, current quarterbacks coach for the Rams.
Yeah,
or is he the anyway?
No,
whatever.
Was it
he
the Falcons at one point? I think you're right. He's a Rams. I'll check.
But he was a lefty.
Oh,
so Mark, I wondered if that was a factor too.
Comes off the hand a little bit different.
Left-handed
huh?
quarterback. The spins all day. The spin is completely the opposite, Sean. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Look at Vandy taking up for Andre 20 years after that rookie minicamp.
And also crapping on Ragone.
Yeah.
That's not his fault he's lefty.
It is the Rams, by the way.
His parents didn't follow the old method of beating the righty into a lefty.
Yeah, tying his left arm to his body.
Why are you writing that way, boy?
Yeah. He is the QB coach for the Rams, Dave Ragone.
My theory about left-handed quarterbacks is also that if you do have a kid who's gifted at throwing objects and he's left-handed, funnel him into baseball by all means.
Oh yeah,
you know,
dude!
Like, there's just the chance of being a major league pitcher as a lefty compared to the rest of the population is so much higher that if you're gifted at throwing objects, then throw a baseball if you're a lefty.
Throw a baseball. Have the kid get into baseball. Have him eat himself into being about 280 pounds, and he'll be a setup reliever for the rest of his life.
Plus, by getting him,
setup reliever.
And you get him big and plump like that so that it scares off the football scouts. You don't want the high school football coach talking him into nothing.
Not too big, because you don't want him to be like a tackle or something like that, but just paunchy enough to where he can't handle the two-a-days in football.
Well, that was the shame about Jared Lorenzen, remember? Because he was the hefty lefty.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. You were like, man, you would have been perfect as a lefty reliever.
That's bingo, yes.
He'd still be alive today.
He would. He'd be in pitching, probably.
Hope his parents don't hear me say that. That's
not a good way to start off the day. You're right about that.
No.
NBA playoffs last night. Golden State loses to Minnesota in their first Curry-less game of the playoffs. Probably their first Curry-less game in the playoffs of the last decade.
Like bad Indian food.
Hold the curry. That's what they did last night. They got blown out 117-93. Draymond was doing Draymond things again, acting the fool. Anthony Edwards went out with a sprained ankle at one point in this game. He said he's going to be okay, but that was like, it's like, okay, basketball gods, like, don't even things up here for the Warriors. They've had enough advantages the last several years. Jadeveon Clowney cut by Carolina yesterday. That's probably a topic
we'll
we can
get into that.
We can go into that a little bit deeper in the next segment because there's it's we'll We'll touch on that. Jadeveon Clowney released by the Carolina Panthers yesterday. So we'll get into that. Also, NFL.com put out a few lists for the offseason here. Traded players who will have the biggest impact, best fit for remaining free agents, even a schedule list. The schedule releases next Wednesday. The Texans are popping up on all of these. So we will dig into that in the 7 o'clock hour as well. That's coming up next.